Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, this is Professor Applewhite, Danita Applewhite, calling in to you from Mesa, Arizona. That's the headquarters for White Apple Institute. I am here this morning and I feel so good. I've had a great cup of coffee this morning, a great breakfast, French toast. For those of you who haven't had your breakfast, I know your mouth is watering because I could just describe this delicious breakfast I had this morning. But I'll spare you that, okay? But I just want to tell you that I woke up this morning with a great attitude about labels. And I chose a label that I want to wear today. See, we can change labels anytime that we want to about what we hold, the perception that we hold about ourselves. And the perception that I choose to hold about myself this morning is that I am this very, very subservient human being in a very positive way. Subservient being that I choose to serve others in a capacity that makes them feel good. And so that is what I'm doing this morning, is I am serving in a capacity that makes me feel good. Okay? And so today, you know, we're going to be talking about what's your label, okay? Labeling. And what's so important for us to learn about labeling? Labels, like what kind of labels do you mean? Labels that are on containers, on cans, on bottles? Oh, no. The label that we place on ourselves and on others. Now, come with me for a minute on labels. You see, when I was a little girl, my grandmother used to talk to me about labels. Now, here's a woman who was born in North Carolina, an African-American, of African-American descent, and she barely had a third grade education. Her grandmother was born a slave, and this woman had the most abundant knowledge. I mean, I always tell my students in psychology that I have met the greatest psychologist in the world, and that was my grandmother. And although she didn't have all the academic degrees, she had something else that was so different. Talk about a label. She wore the label of wisdom, okay? And so what she told me, getting back to what my grandmother told me about labels, is that she'd say, Nita, that's what she'd call me. She'd say, always read what's inside of something. When somebody gives you something to take, then you make sure you read what the ingredients are. And I never really got that as a young person. I just, you know, what do you mean ingredients? What do I know what ingredients are? But as I've become more mature and knowledgeable, I'm starting to look at labels a lot differently, especially as we get more into this age of nutrition. And understanding, you know, the things that we put in our body are important to us, just as we look at what kind of gas we put in our car. Believe it or not, people put are more conscious about the gasoline or oil that they put in their car than they are about what kind of food and fuel they put in their own bodies. And let's not even get into the fuel that they put into their mind. We'll get to that in a couple of weeks. We're going to be doing labels for the next couple of weeks here. And so let's just start on what this label issue is today. Okay, our chat line is open for those of you who want to join us on chat without coming on live to the show. Feel free to come on and type in what your label is or what you feel other people should be labeled as. So don't feel that you're going to be put on the spot. I will share what you're saying without sharing your name, and it goes the same when you call into the radio show. It's totally up to you to share your information, even if I know you as a student or board member of White Apple Institute, which is our sponsor of the Student to Teacher Show. All right, labels. Don't let labels fool you. Yes. Okay, like there was a song, Don't Let Money Rule You or something like that, and that's how I came up with Don't Let Labels Fool You. You know, it's interesting that every time that I begin to start putting together the show and the other people that help, the staff of White Apple Institute that helps to put together this show, we do it in prayer. We do it in the sense of meditating on what we think people need to hear out there. And it's so very, very interesting, the things that we come up with. If you're wondering whether or not there's some hidden list somewhere of all these topics that come up on the show, nope, there's not. Sometimes we get down right down to the wire on what are we going to do for the next week or the next 2 weeks or whatever, and someone will come up with a story that someone has shared with them or that they have themselves, and that's how we actually develop the show. So that's where labels came from. We were talking with a couple of students, and they were talking about the stereotype that they have of themselves, and I said, don't let labels fool you. Don't let the label that you give somebody else fool you, because you may be incorrect. So our episode today is we hope to let others know that labels are necessary now for organizing our world. But the labels we place on others can fool us. We may think a label for disability, or especially mental disability, defines a person and find out they are nothing like what we thought they were. Yes, nothing like it. They, you know, you get a bottle of, or a can of something in the store, and it describes the contents of a bottle, going back to what my grandmother said. And it tells us not only what the ingredients are in the bottle, but tells us where to store things, where to store it at, how to use it, the instructions, the warnings about the harm of it, and a lot more. Okay, so you look at the label, just pull down any label if you have, if you're right now in a place where you can see a label, pull it down, just pull it down and look at it, you know, because some of you, I know from your notes that you send me and the little emails that sometimes you're in the kitchen having a cup of coffee or just, you know, sit kicking back and reading the newspaper and you're listening to the show, and we appreciate that. So, you know, for those of you who can, grab a bottle and look at what I'm trying to say about labels, or later on do that. And you'll find out that labels are extremely important, but many times we just buy things and store things according to what we've seen and what we've observed from other people, and we really don't even know what's inside. So we've got this series of three episodes focused on the labels that many people place on themselves and others, and it's commonly called stereotypes. So how do you label or stereotype yourself? Let's go for self first, and then we can talk about all the labels we have for other people. But today I wanted us to focus on what's your label. How do you see yourself? How do you define yourself? What's the content of your character? Ooh, that's a heavy one. The content of your character. Now, I know that some of you are familiar with the great man Martin Luther King, and his speech talked about the content of character, okay? And the content of character was about, I have a dream. And I just wanted to, I don't know why, but I feel like I want to renew that again, just because I feel very important about it. He talks about knowing who someone is by, and judging them not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Okay? And he says that, let's see, I'm trying to remember the whole thing here. Maybe I've got a caller online. Let me see if that caller can help us to remember some of the things that Martin Luther King said about content of character. Okay. This looks like a familiar number here, maybe a board member. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Are you there? 602? Good morning. Yes.
Hello.
Yes. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. And is this Dr. Polnitz calling, Beverly Polnitz?
Yes, it is Dr. Polnitz. How is that? How are you today? It's a
good
great
morning.
Day. Beautiful day.
I'm always, always pleased that, because I know today, are you calling us today from the Women's Expo in Phoenix?
I'm on my way there. I haven't reached there yet, but I will be at the expo today.
Wonderful, wonderful. There'll be thousands and thousands of women, I understand, that are going to be emerging on this place, and they have wheelchair accommodations, and it's going to be great for women from all walks of life to emerge in this place and get some great information and do some great networking, I understand.
Yes. It's okay. And I invite all to come out and enjoy the festivities and the networking and the exhibit that's going to be on display at the Women's Expo.
All right. So any of our listeners that are in the Phoenix area, I guess we're going to give you guys some, the Phoenix Convention Center, some free advertisement here. But actually, you know, anything that helps our listeners, we're cool with sharing that. So just know that there is a convention going on in Phoenix. And we encourage you, any of you that are wherever you are in the world, or in the United States or abroad, to attend conferences. Conferences are great ways to network with people and to build your confidence level. You know what, Dr. Polnitz? I shared with somebody this weekend, and I'm going to get back to this labeling and content of character thing in just a moment, because I have a question to ask you about Martin Luther King. But I just want to share with you that this week I did something that was kind of, I haven't done it before. You know, you're teaching 35 plus years. I'm not going to say how long exactly. And, you know, you come up with something new every once in a while. And I told this person, I suggested that they design a business card. And they said, well, I don't have a business. I said, sure you do. Sure you do. Because all of us are self-employed. And so we have talents and skills about ourselves. And also, it's just a great idea to hand out a card with your number on it, okay, just to tell somebody, hey, this is a way to call me, this is a way to contact me, even if you don't have a business, you know, an ongoing business right now. And this person looked at me and said, well, you know, I do have kind of like a business, but I haven't worked it for a while, and I do some things, like I fix things around the house, and I could get the card going. I said, yeah, you don't have to put anything on it, but it becomes like a label for you. Aha, back to label, okay? And so they're actually developing a business card, and isn't that's one of the ways you network, isn't it? I mean, you're the networking expert here. Cards, right?
That is absolutely correct. That is one of the ways that you network. That the card is you printing out your own label.
Mm.
And a part of that label is your name.
Mm-hmm.
And just a little brief, maybe a title.
Which
label says who you are.
Right.
With the public to see you. And this is in, you know, it could be in the business world or even in the social world.
Uh-huh.
And then a way for someone to connect with you, to talk with you.
Right.
Your business card. Labels is a vast subject. It can go in a number of different ways as far as thinking about the content of your character. And I can tell you the question, to go back to the question about Dr. King and the speech, and if I'm recalling correctly, the way the speech goes, it's the I have a dream speech.
Right, right.
And he goes on to say, I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, by the content of their character.
Wow, wow. So it was really about his four, he was using the example of his four little children. That's what I was missing in that. And so he was, and as an example for all of us, that we would not be judged by the color of our skin. I see. And by the content.
Right.
And that's where labeling comes into this content issue of what's inside of us, right?
Right. And you can take that the color of our skin, you can take that concept further and say by the build of our body, the look of our face, the structure of our arm, whether we walk with a limp or whether we're in a wheelchair. Everything on the outside that you're going to judge a person before you look at what's on the inside.
Right, right.
And what you meant by that, you know? And it's very deep. It's very profound. And even more profound is when we think about how we label ourselves. That us as the public labels us. But then we also can label ourselves, and that label can be detrimental to us.
Yes, yes, it can be.
Or it can build us up of how we label ourselves.
So labeling, when we talk about not letting labels fool you and not letting the labels we put on ourselves fool ourselves either, the label is this outside covering. So it could actually be the clothing somebody wears, how they present themselves becomes a label. I mean, advertisement does it all the time. It's labeling is a very important part of advertisement. You know, they spend a lot of time and money on getting that right label, the right colors in the label for what you're buying, the right size of letters. All of that is extremely important from what I understand.
Yes, yes. And we do the same when we get dressed to go out to the house. We put our label on for whatever it is that we want people to perceive us to be. We put on a label. I met a very interesting gentleman last night, and he doesn't do labels. He was actually a presenter at a seminar that I went to, and he didn't get all dressed up in a suit and tie. He came as he always is.
And that's his label too. I mean, that's label.
Exactly. Yeah. That's his label. I am who I am. Accept me as I am.
Right.
I thought it was beautiful. It was wonderful.
Well, you know, and some of the key words that we came up with this week about don't let labels fool you is stereotypes and the way we organize things and what we focus on. And of course, you know, we have a tremendous, and we've definitely got it covered. Like you said, this is a big subject, and that's why we have three episodes to cover labeling. And I don't even know if we'll get to all of it. Depends on how many calls come in. We have a chat coming in right now. And, you know, it just depends on what how people see themselves. And we talked about this a lot, about the mirror, looking in the mirror of your own mirror and seeing yourself and how you see yourself. But how do you stereotype your own self? I have some information I just have to share with our listeners here. And it comes from a very, very well-known person and group from the Psychology Today magazine, okay? And it's, let's see, I think his name is Adam Alter, the one that wrote this. He published this. But one of the things he said is that he talks a lot about skin tone with this labeling issue. And he says that it can be dangerous to label people.
Mm.
Now, dangerous, okay? We know that categorical labeling or labeling people by categories is a tool that all of us use to kind of like put things together, organize what we see, what we perceive in our lives. There's so much information out there, Dr. Polnis, we cannot expect to understand all of it all at one time. I mean, that's one of the things that goes on with those that have autism or even ADHD is that there's too much information going in at one time, and so it causes an acting out behavior. And so we have filtering systems that are put into our brain to help us to categorize certain aspects of everything around us. It's not necessary to know specific things about every little thing that we look at, or we just go bananas. So there is a positive in labeling. There's a positive in even stereotyping, okay? And we'll get into some of the negatives about it, but let's just for a minute talk about the fact that labeling people, like Adam Alter comes up with, he talks about skin tones, skin colors, black and white. And he notes, and this is really, really interesting, he notes that a number of experiments that have been done with black and white issues of race. And one of the most interesting ones that he came up with is the racial labels of people that look at a person and they assign certain attributes to them, okay? Like, he came up with this study, and I'm not going to get too detailed on the study itself, but it's college students. They looked at a picture of a man who could be biracial. He pretty much is not either black or white in the picture. But what they did is they asked the students to come up with different things that they felt would identify this person. And what happened is when they looked at him as a black man, they came up with all kinds of negative attributes to him. And when they came up with a man who was white, they had positive attributes. And the same thing happened with a student, a young girl, Hannah. And college students watched a video of Hannah playing in her neighborhood. And they read some stuff about her background. And some of the students watched Hannah playing in like a really poor neighborhood, a real low-income housing, kind of like where I grew up. I grew up in the projects. I don't know if you did too. Did you grow up? You grew up in a projects or middle class neighborhood? Okay, so
I didn't grow up in the projects.
Okay,
but I didn't grow up in a rich neighborhood either.
All right. Okay. And her, but the one video that they showed Hannah growing up in with a low income in the low income area, her parents were described as like, you know, high school graduates, blue collar jobs. And then another group of students watched Hannah in a film playing in a tree-lined middle-class neighborhood, and her parents were described as college-educated professionals, okay? So these students were asked to talk about Hannah's academic ability. Get that one, all right? So they wanted to know if the students watching her in the low-income video versus the middle class neighborhood would have different ideas about her academic ability, and boy did they. Okay, when Hannah was labeled middle class, the students believed that she performed really good in school. Okay, but when she was labeled from the poor neighborhood, they believed that she performed really low, below grade level. Okay, so we can see from both examples that black and white racial perceptions and also academic abilities based on socioeconomic levels or, you know, the areas that people live in can cause us to really dangerously label people, okay? We have to be really careful about that. And teachers for sure, need to be very careful of looking at intellectual development, okay, of their students, and based on the labels that they assign. Can you believe those studies?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. But I yes.
Yeah.
I can believe.
Yeah.
I grew up in an era when labels, that exact thing was happening. And mm-hmm. the children, my background is unique where I grew up because I grew up in an African-American community that was surrounded by a Caucasian community in a very small town.
Mm-hmm.
And the treatment that the African-American children received as compared to the Caucasian children was quite different.
Mm.
We were all labeled as incapable of learning,
mm.
lazy,
mm.
Being told that we're IQs of idiots, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look today at the success rate of the African Americans that came out of that community, I, for one, hold a doctorate degree. I don't know
mm-hmm.
anyone on this planet that is lazy, stupid, or idiot that has a doctorate degree unless they bought it online.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I did not.
Right, right.
So the labels can actually damage a child because I know of those who were also labeled out of that same community and went on to achieve absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting, intergroup rise within your own race, okay, whether you're black, and actually black and white is not really a race designation, okay, it's a category, because when we really talk about ethnicity, okay, ethnicity goes beyond the bounds of this big category of black and white. Now you break it down, white means what? White can mean European, from Sweden or from France. Black can mean from the Caribbean and or California or the South or Africa. I mean, there's these cultural and ethnic issues that we need to look at when we're dealing with just labeling people by their skin color and assigning these attributes to them just because of the color of their skin, or again, the kind of background that they have, whether they had money or they didn't when they were growing up. So I mean, really, this thing can just go on and on and on. I hope that we have more callers calling in, but we're always grateful. We've got right now, and just a small diversion here. Not that numbers are so important with this radio show, but it's just encouraging that the numbers keep raising, Dr. Polnitz, of people that are tuning into the show, either while we're on live. Or the archive show after we get off, if they're not able to listen from 10 to 11 on Saturdays, they are actually accessing the archive shows even more so now, where our number is right in that 20,000 person range right now. Isn't that something?
That's wonderful.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I hope that this message that we're sending out about not only the dangers of labeling and so many other subjects we come up with, but also the positive nature of labeling. So we don't get into, oh, don't label me, like it's something bad. We have to look at the fact that people have to do that in order to focus on certain information so that they don't get overwhelmed with it. But when you get close enough to an individual, like teachers getting close to their students. Okay, now we're talking about teachers from academic to Sunday school teachers, okay? And don't forget, you know, we call this the student to teacher show, and the misconception is that you have to be either an academic student or an academic teacher to listen to the show and benefit. But everyone is a student if they receive information, and everyone is a teacher if they share it. So we're talking to teachers and students at all levels. And so what I'm going to say to you is real important for all of our listeners out there, okay? I want to just share with you that there was a guy, and I used this study many, many times, and I have to say the name on this because I got to give him credit, Rosenthal and Jacobson, went into a number of schools, and this was at the elementary school level, and what they did with teachers, just to reinforce how important it is for teachers to understand how dangerous labels can be, all right? They went in and they told teachers that that some of their students had passed, had scored very, very high on their test, okay? And they said, these students that we're identifying are really, really fantastic students, and they're gifted, okay? And really, they had just selected these students randomly. It wasn't, there wasn't anything to the names of these students. They just picked them up, okay? And they had performed no differently from any of the other peers in their class. Isn't that interesting, okay? Now, a year after convincing the teachers that some of these students that they had identified were, as a matter of fact, the word they used were academic bloomers, okay? So they convinced the teachers of this. Do you know that those particular students outperformed the other students, okay? Outperformed them. Now, the reason that they're giving for that, all of our listeners out there, my friends, is that the teachers held a self-fulfilling prophecy in which the students were expected to bloom and outperform their peers because of the label, if you will, the stereotype that the teachers held about those particular students, even though, like I said earlier, the students were chosen randomly. They were not even, they did not test at the top 20% of their class, okay? So we always have to be careful of how we assign these labels, especially in our schools and especially as parents too. I mean, I don't know what you have to say about that. If you're shaking your head right now, any of you out there, if you're listening to the show on computer, give us a call at 1-646-727-3758 and let us know what you think. And thank you for the person that sent in the chat, just acknowledging the good stuff that we're talking about on the show, and we really appreciate that. Give us a little bit more information about what you think about this labeling. But Dr. Ponis, I know that study with the teachers, because you're an educator yourself, that's got to be a mind blower.
Yes, that is, and it's definitely something that I can see as happening, because the self-fulfilling prophecy that these are academically, you know, students that are going to excel.
It goes
and when you have a label and you reinforce that label, chances are the person is going to act more and more and more into that label.
Right, right. And that's what you grew up around. You were mentioning that you grew up in an atmosphere where people assigned certain attributes to you because, or and your peers, because of the color of their skin, right? And this was in Pittsburgh, right?
That's correct. That's in Pittsburgh. Fortunately for me, I got involved in a program where the instructor held all of the students accountable, accolades to all of the students, and on a daily basis, we were taught how great we are, how we can achieve, how wonderful we are, how intelligent we are. He didn't teach us electricity. We taught ourselves electricity. He taught us who we were.
Wow.
And from that point on, I was able to pull out and excel academically.
Now,
so that
Now that's
that
the
was,
kind of stories we like to hear. Wow.
His name is Robert P. Dean. He was
I was just
going to
ask you if you felt comfortable saying his name, because
absolutely.
Okay.
I love this man. His name is Robert P. Dean.
Robert P. Dean, we thank you.
He made sure that we learned electricity, but we taught ourselves. He taught us who we were. And I, and from that class on, I was able to move to further my education, and I've been in school ever since until, you know, achieving my doctorate degree. And that was working full-time and going to school because he planted a seed inside of me that said, I am worth something. I am very valuable.
He helped you form that label, didn't he?
He sure did.
Wow.
He certainly did.
And this was, so in other words, you started off in a program, an electrician training program, which really, I guess, in a sense, is not even related that much to what you do now, but the message that you got from that particular program is has carried you into so many other areas.
Exactly. Exactly.
And especially education, because you're a dynamite educator. And
thank you.
I've worked with you for many, many years on different projects at different colleges, and I've been very pleased at how you've interacted not only with myself, with colleagues, but with students. And that's why we're so pleased, I mean, for your time that you spend with us on the show on Saturday mornings, because it certainly is a blessing to us. To have your knowledge and your experiences, your stories to share. So Robert P. Dean, wherever you are, if you're listening or somebody knows who you are, we hope that they shake your hand and let you know how important you are to the student to teacher show and all of our listeners and other teachers that are doing the same things, that are going out there and really making a difference by helping students to understand a little bit more about the stereotypes and labels that they don't have to buy into. We got to be real careful of what we buy into when we're out there. Okay, let me backtrack for a minute. I want to talk about what is labeling, the definition of labeling, because it really comes from sociology. Okay. And it's not, it's kind of like a metaphor. It's not something that's really a concrete concept. According to Wikipedia, labeling is kind of like a metaphor, like you're just kind of assigning a definition to it. It's not like you can say this is a pen and describe a pen. Labeling or stereotyping is a concept, it's a method of how we distinguish, how people recognize, I'll say, one product from another or one person from another, and how we kind of differentiate or look at people with a certain prejudice. Now, be careful with that word prejudice, because everybody gets a little tense when I start saying prejudice. You know, it's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? You know, and they start building this wall. I don't care what color you are. They start building this wall because all of us have been subjected to some form of prejudice. Well, first off, let me say that prejudice, along with labeling, all of these words have origins at the very beginning of what we call our civilization, of our societies. And prejudice comes from the word, if you think about it, prejudge. So when we prejudge something, it means that before we really know what's going on with that person or that thing, that event, that action, we start prejudging what it's going to be or who they are. And that can be dangerous. Again, that goes right back into the labeling. And we'll talk about discrimination on next week's show, because that has a lot to do with labeling also. But for right now, I just want to focus on these couple of things that we've talked about today so we don't get overwhelming. We've talked about labeling as it associates with, I touched a little bit on disability and mental disability, and that's going to be a big thing we get into, probably towards more the third episode on this. But today we've been focused a lot on racial issues and socioeconomic status. okay, as labels, okay, and how they can hurt students, especially students, as they are trying to grow and learn and become all they can be in a learning environment. Teachers and parents prejudge. They judge a child based on things that they've seen in their environment, maybe based on their own parents, their own, wait a minute, oh boy, here's another one. Television shows make us prejudge a lot. What we see on television, the stereotypes that the media puts out there. And I mean, this was a big thing in the 70s, 80s, even 90s, about how the media presents racial profiling, okay, and socioeconomic status. You know, the media have to take a large responsibility for that. But, oh boy, Dr. Polnis, I'm getting into another area here. I was going to talk about religion. Boy, we better leave that for later, huh? Because religion can really...
Yeah, let's leave that one for later. That's a big one. We got wars going on. Wars over the centuries about that. So we can definitely leave that be.
The stereotypes can be absolutely unbelievable. Yeah, we better leave that alone. Let's just stay with prejudging and the prejudices that happen to an individual. The stereotype an individual has affects the way that we perceive ourselves and other groups. And the result is that we assign labels, okay, imposed on ourselves and the members of the group, okay? So a member of a targeted group is labeled by the larger society, okay? And it can be positive or negative. But it aids in the formation of social stereotypes. So I often ask my students, what is a stereotype that they hold about someone? And or have they ever experienced a prejudice? And do you know what I get back sometimes? I get back a response that says, I don't ever feel prejudice against anyone. And I have to always respond with this. My dear friends, my dear students, we all have prejudices. Prejudice is not necessarily a negative term. We do prejudge, and we do have to be careful of negative aspects that we prejudge people with. But sometimes there's good aspects we prejudge people with. You know, we may look at a person and say, wow, she's a beautiful human being, or he's a very smart guy, you know, and that may be a label that can fool us too. So we have to be careful. Now, I'm not just looking at the detrimental side of it, because that can be detrimental also, is assigning a label to somebody, a positive label, and that's not really true. How many times, I was just talking to a mother just recently, how many times do we assign a label to somebody that doesn't live up to that? She was talking about her son who had been molested and how she had seen this individual that did this to her son as a very smart person, a teacher, unfortunately, and someone who was highly recognized and respected in the community. So there was a label assigned to that person, and that person didn't live up to that label. And I want to clear something up that just came over the news not too recently, very recently, is that Big Brothers and Sisters, Big Brothers, is that the organization Big Brothers? They just had an incident where one of the people that had gone through all of the investigations had come out with flying colors that they were a good individual, good label, and they just landed up, unfortunately, molesting a child. So not to get into that, because that's a really, really heavy subject, But I'm just trying to reinforce a point here. And the point is that we need to be careful, tread gently when we assign labels to anyone, labels of positive aspects or negative aspects. Teachers, be responsible. Don't assign a label to someone, especially a student, and you're not sure of whether or not that label will impact them for the rest of their lives in a negative level. You may have just written off a student. You may have just, parents, you might have just written off your child. Community leaders, you may have just written off a certain group or a certain individual that may have been a positive aspect in your community by just the mere fact of labeling or stereotyping that individual. We must tread gently. And so for that, we need to get into a little bit more on the label of disability. Just for a moment, I want to share with you that we are dealing with right now, just in the United States, about 36 million people that suffer from from physical or mental disabilities. And there's such a stereotype out there that's unreal. I have a lady out there right now that is, she's doing a movie. And the movie, I think it's called Collision. It hasn't started filming yet, but they are, what it is about is that her statement is that people in the industry of Hollywood do not usually hire people who are disabled to play the parts of disabled. Okay, they hire fully abled, physically abled people, and let me make sure that I say that right, because all of us carry some type of dis in our abilities, okay? But they really disregard actors with physical limitations, in a sense, and they don't allow them to express their alternative abilities because there's so many labels out there that say this person can't do this because they're in a wheelchair, or this person can't do this because they've been diagnosed with a mental health issue. So what her movie is about, and gosh, her name is just losing me right now, but I'll come back to it next week, and we'll talk about it a little bit more. But I'm trying to get to a point here that she brought out about the movie Collision. I think they start filming in July 2012. And that is that we have to be careful of how we look at people that we assume are disabled and not able to do certain things. We have to be very careful of how we look at people with mental health issues, because there is a psychiatrist, as a matter of fact, who did a wonderful, wonderful job in mental health, talking about positive psychology, and talks about how psychiatrists have labeled, psychiatric labeling, have labeled people based on the so-called Bible of psychiatry and psychology, which is called the DSM. Many people may be familiar with that if they've either experienced some kind of mental health challenge or know someone who has. And if you sought any kind of mental health treatment, then you would have been exposed to this book, or this book that labels, has labels in it and numbers for the insurance companies to know why a doctor should get paid. And so these labels are assigned dependent on what they come up with as your diagnosis. Now, we'll get into a little bit more of this next week, but Dr. Paul McHugh is at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, and he says that this DSM book, this Bible of Psychiatric Labeling, has lost its usefulness because of the labels that they put on there. And he actually, and this is really interesting, he actually says something about labeling from the psychiatric or psychological, let's just say mental health counseling perspective, is no different than the witch hunts that they used to do in Salem. Now, that's a pretty strong statement, the witch hunts, because the witch hunts labeled people as they were, you know, they thought that they were doing something that was against God or against that particular society, and so they would label them as mentally ill or evil, and they actually would burn them and ostracize them from communities. That's how damaging a label or stereotype can become. So we need to be very careful, and I'm quite an advocate on not going out, stepping out of the box a little bit from the labels that people carry in mental health. I really, especially teachers, I want them to be very careful as we, as I'm writing now some research on campus violence, on school violence, and how we assign labels to different students based on how aggressive they are. And we've done that a lot with different ethnic groups. Get this. Because we don't understand a lot about different groups of students, and I'm going to go ahead and say it. It really is a cloud that surrounds many African-American students, okay? And that cloud is that many teachers assume, because of the sometimes assertive way that many students of African-American descent discuss things, that they are becoming aggressive or violent. And before you know it, the label that they already have assigned to that individual, because, you know, we assign labels as soon as somebody walks in the door or we see them at any distance, we start labeling and categorizing them quickly because we have to. That's how we process information. But okay, now this person is in front of you, this student is in front of you, and you begin to start labeling them, and then something happens that reinforces that label. And that could be that their voice raises or they give you a certain look. I've even seen this kind of thing happen with teachers discussing students of Asian descent that won't look at an individual, and they assign the label of disrespectful to them, okay? And because of that, don't pay attention to them. And getting back to that study I mentioned earlier about, you know, the way that teachers can give more attention to those who are singled out as academic bloomers or gifted students and not give enough attention to those that are not, we need to be careful that we don't do that with each other. And as teachers in today's society, of not looking deeper past the label that we give to someone and not examining that more carefully. Be careful, because, you know, wasn't there a Bible verse about if you stumble someone, if you stumble your brother? I wish we had someone on live right now that was well versed in the in biblical scripture, because it's something about if you stumble your brother, it's just like putting a noose around your own neck and jumping from a cliff. It's that serious, okay? That we don't want to stumble somebody else. And so when we assign these dangerous labels, these negative labels to other people, it's almost like we are saying, you're not worthy, I'm not going to pay attention to you, I don't believe in your potential, and we're actually Xing them out. So we have to make sure that the way we describe not only others, but ourselves, now let's get back to self in this last few minutes that we have of the show. When we look at ourselves and the content of our own character, how do we label ourselves? I want to leave that with you this week, because when we come back next week, I want you to call in or chat with me write in a chat, or maybe this week you'll send me an email and let me know about the label or stereotype you come up with about yourself as a teacher, as a wife, as a mother, as an educator, a PhD, or a high school graduate, or someone who grew up in the projects, or grew up in a middle-class neighborhood. What kind of label are you buying into for yourself? Dr. Paulness, you have anything you want to conclude with before we leave?
I would just like to say thank you so very much for having such an inspiring conversation and topic. I am very excited about being back on the show next week to hear the continuation of this topic. And I have a few other individuals that I'm going to encourage to also be on this show.
You know, before you leave, and I know we're running against time right now, I just want to I want to thank you very much because you've exposed me to some labeling issues with some of the nutritional supplements that I take. And one thing I've learned is that is to look at labels and look at content of different oils and different herbs. And I encourage people, if you are interested in any of those things, because I'd like to do something, you know, that focuses on healthy bodies can make healthy minds, because we're dealing a lot with the mind on every show that we do on Student to Teacher radio show. And if you have any questions about how to build your mind power, your brain power up, contact Dr. Polnitz on at whiteappleinstitute.org or send us an email into the show, and we'll make sure we forward that to her and she can connect with you. Because I want you to really get into reading the labels on some of the things that you're taking into your body also, and taking into your mind, more importantly. But there has to be a balance. So we thank you so much for joining us on the Student to Teacher Show this week, and we look forward to hearing from you next week. Thank you, Nazim Rashid, for this great music. Oh, and his book just came out, Reconnected. Okay, Nazim Rashid follows our show with Reconnected on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Thank you so much, everyone. Much love and peace. Thank you, Dr. Polnitz, for joining us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.